Orange Salerno Podcast, episode 72. We're really on a roll here. It feels nice to be more intentional and consistent. It's very difficult, as I've displayed in the past, but, you know, we're getting by. We're doing it, and we love it. As always, I'm your host, Vince Salerno. First off, I do want to say, show notes, thank you guys for tuning into the past couple episodes. As I've been more consistent, more people have been engaging with the show, and I do appreciate that. It's been some interesting responses from Eve's episode. Some of y'all need Jesus, to put it lightly. But I do have to say thank you to the people who have been watching and sharing Eve's episode. It was really great to have her on and talk about college age generation and the culture. But today we're changing things a little bit. We're still talking about the culture on a slightly different level, though. It's going to be a more fun, laid back episode, in part because my special guest today is one of my, well, I'd say next to Jesus Christ, my favorite person in the world, the love of my life, mother to my son, my wife, Kate.
Hi.
Salerno.
Hello.
As you've established last time you were here. You were here when we did the relaunch episode, right?
Were I pregnant with the baby?
I think you were pregnant, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so how have you been since the last time?
Well, things have changed quite a bit. We've had a baby since being on your last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Been good. Been chilling. I'm a stay-at-home mom now, so that's really nice. And just pouring all my time and energy pretty much into our baby.
Mm-hmm.
And home life, so.
And she's doing a fantastic job at it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we're here. I'm here. She's here because we're talking about a particular cultural icon, landmark, if you will, within our culture. Something that was made. What was it? 2003.
Was it? I thought it was 2004, 2005 to 2013.
Well, I have my laptop in front of me, so I'll look up. This particular landmark, which debuted in 2005. Yes, thank you. I was going to say almost 20 years, 20 years old exactly, but no, almost 20 years old. The Office. The Office is one of Kate's favorite shows. And it's come up in a lot of different conversations on the podcast. And so I thought it would be fun to have the closest super fan of The Office I know to come on and talk about just her love for the show. And I guess by default, my love for the show, why it's so great and why people are watching The Office or choosing to watch The Office as opposed to seeing new movies, or at least the vast majority of new content that's being produced. I hear so many people would just rather rewatch their favorite shows like The Office or Parks and Rec, which is a personal favorite of mine. Helen Roy, who was on the podcast, she even said that her and her husband just rewatch The Office all the time, or that she's rewatching 30 Rock right now. So first, I'd like to have us just go through, like, kind of the history of The Office, because our love for The Office, by discussing the history, some fun facts about the show, because I did some deep diving. Of course, Kate has showed me the entire season, and because, well, I'll explain your very cute but unusual way of watching the show. I've seen every episode and I really do enjoy the show. I can't say I'm a super fan. I am more of a Parks and Rec guy than an Office guy, but I do recognize it is a better show. So let's just get into, the history of the show, our fun facts, our love for the show. I want to start with you, babe. So, I just called my wife babe
because
she's a babe. So what, why do you love The Office?
I started watching it in high school and it was really hard to get into at first, but all of my friends, I guess one friend in particular, kept talking about it and kept making references to it. And I kept saying, like, what is that from? Like, I don't understand your reference. Where are you getting that from? And he said, The Office. And so I was like, okay, I need to start watching. Like, I need to get on the bandwagon here because I want to be part of these funny jokes. Everything he was saying was so funny. So I wanted to be part of it. Like, I wanted to know why, like, what it was.
Yeah, so, you want to be in on the joke.
Yes. So I started watching it. And I will say the first season was really hard to get through. Like, the first episode, it's like, not only, it's not like cringy, it's a little cringy, but it's just kind of annoying. Like, the characters are annoying. It's very slow moving. There's not really a story there yet. It's just very boring.
Kind of dark, too.
It's a little dark, yeah. It's a shot-for-shot remake of the British version. So, and I tried to watch the British version, at least the first episode, I think. And it was rough. Like, I couldn't get into it at all.
Interesting.
So I powered through.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm very interested in watching the British version, especially after hearing about how the show was made, because I don't know if you knew this, Ricky Gervais, he was actually a singer. He was part of a band in the 80s, kind of a David Bowie wannabe, with all due respect. And his band didn't last long. And then he became a, he was like a manager for some sort of company, or they called him like the speech manager, which is like a communications director essentially. And he actually took the job having no idea what he was doing, and so he hired an assistant, and him and his assistant just he did all the work for him. His assistant made him look good, but then they just goofed off and pulled pranks all day. And that was actually the model that was based, though, The Office was based off of this assistant, who is also a well-known actor. Let's see, it was Ricky Gervais, Stephen and who?
Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant. Thank you. Yeah. Wow, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So they weren't actors starting out. They were just kind of doing their thing, and then someone. They filmed all this stuff they did, and someone at BBC thought, wow, these guys are hilarious. And then that's how they made The Office. So The Office is actually based off of Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's banter as friends. And then obviously translating that into the British Office, and then translating that into the American Office, which was also made in conjunction with Stephen Merchant, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
I don't think I maybe heard that on the Office Ladies podcast, or maybe Brian Baumgartner's podcast, The Office Deep Dive, but I'm not sure.
Great one.
I don't remember, but I didn't know he wasn't an actor first.
Yeah. I'll have to send you the video that I saw. Yeah, it's another deep dive. It's like an hour long.
Okay.
That's fun. It's a good one.
The Office, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. But going back to what you said, I remember when we sat down to watch it together. Do you remember how I reacted to the first season?
Yes, you absolutely hated Michael Scott. Like, hated him. You couldn't stand him, and I really thought you were going to give up on the show, but I kept pushing you to move
forward. I was ready to give up on the show. I thought, like,
it was so annoying.
I love this woman. I want to marry this woman. But she loves this show. With this main character who's overtly racist, sexist, and just a horrible, tone deaf, stupid human being. I don't get it. I was just like, I don't think usually with most shows we watch, especially if she's suggesting them, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to give the benefit of the doubt. I want to see your perspective, why you like this so much. This, I was just like, I don't think I can handle this. This is horrible. But yeah, I stuck with it, and it did get better. And you do get to see moments of sympathizing with Michael. I think it's interesting to study how The Office went from its first season, mm-hmm. potentially on the verge of cancellation, to how it flourished into the show it is. I don't know, what did you notice that was the biggest change between what happens in season one and what changed in season two and onward?
Well, they soften Michael a little bit. Michael becomes sort of a different person without giving up his...
quirks.
His quirks, his comedy, his offensive jokes. They just made it more soft and less hateable.
Yeah.
And so it gets easier to watch because they've taken that away. Like they've made him, like you're rooting for him now because you're like, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
And you know, he always puts his foot in his mouth, but
mm-hmm.
he learns his lessons and he does grow and change. And that is pretty obvious from season one to season two. Like everything is pretty different.
I think they make him a little more endearing because it's not that he's saying these offensive things because
he knows that it's offensive.
Well, no, he doesn't. That's the joke.
I'm finishing your sentence for you.
Oh, I sound like you said he does know he's offensive.
I was finishing what you were going to say.
Yeah. No, he doesn't know that he is offensive. He's just naive. He's an incredibly naive person. And you might even go so far as to say he's stupid, but he's not. He's you can tell, like, in
he's a lovable idiot.
He's a lovable idiot. And the one episode that I think saves Michael is when him and Jan go to the,
Chili's
with, who's the black actor in that scene?
Ooh, you know him. You know his name better than I do.
I actually don't. I wish I did. He's a well-known actor. He was on like Mad TV and stuff. He's been in so many movies. Oh gosh, I feel terrible. Anyways, they're doing the sale and she thinks that like Michael's gonna screw it up by being himself, but being himself is actually what allows the guy to loosen up, and then he makes the sale.
Yeah.
And that was a great moment. Like, oh my gosh, that's how he got here. He may be a lovable idiot. He may be offensive, but he has something special to him that has allowed him to flourish in this industry.
Yeah. He just wants to make people laugh. He's such a people pleaser that that is his downfall.
Yeah.
Like he says the wrong thing trying to please people.
You said something really interesting when we first started watching the show about Michael. Like I couldn't get about him, but then I kind of sympathized with him when you said this. He just wants to be loved by everybody.
Yeah.
He wants to love others and be loved by everybody, which is a very, very Christian thing to do, despite the fact that he's probably not a Christian. But
his workplace is his family.
Yeah. Like
he works with are his family. He says it multiple times.
Yeah. And it's treated as a joke because no one sees it as that. But it's because of the way he kind of conditions everybody to be used to that, mm-hmm. that I think they do ultimately accept that. And when he leaves, which I think is one of the stupidest decisions in network television history, it shows how integral he is to the show. You cannot just... I mean, that's like taking... That's like if they make Toy Story 5 and Woody's not in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just Buzz and Jesse and the rest of the gang. That's literally what it would feel like.
That's when the cast said, hey, we're ready to wrap this up now. Like after season 8, I think they were like, look.
Because they had two more. Well, they did one more season.
After season 8. Because there's 9 seasons.
You're right. 9 seasons. At the end
of season 7. Then you have season 8 where they're trying to find a new manager.
Oh, I thought it was
D'Angelo.
Yeah, I thought there was like 3 more seasons, but no, you're right. Two.
Friends is 10 seasons.
Yeah, yeah. We were watching Friends right after. So believe it or not, I got confused between 9 or 10 seasons, which one was longer. Why do you think... Okay, wait. First off... an interesting thing. So you've said you discovered it when you were in high school.
Yes.
What year?
I was a sophomore.
Did you watch it on Netflix or did you watch it on iTunes or something?
I watched it on Netflix. I think okay. At one point my parents actually had it.
Yeah.
I don't think they had it at the time. So I think I mostly watched it on Netflix.
Yeah. Okay. I asked because it's an interesting fact. So the show was kind of on the verge of cancellation, I think around season two. And
yes. Well, they still hadn't ripped their contract.
I think they got renewed for season two, but the show wasn't performing.
Sure.
But then, do you remember the Christmas episode where Michael gives Ryan an iPod? Everybody, it's the Secret Santa. The gift limit is like $10, and Michael gets him like a $300.
And he hates Phyllis's oven mitt.
Yeah, he gets Ryan a video iPod. And I found out in my research, this was actually a huge gift. This was like a hot button gift at the time. It's like today's equivalent of getting someone an iPhone. Like getting someone a video iPod for Christmas was huge around that time. And guess what was on the video iPod?
What?
iTunes Video, the video store. So they had all these shows that I think you could either watch for purchase them or watch for free, like a couple episodes out of every season or whatever, or the pilot episode. Well, as everyone's getting their iPods for Christmas, their video iPods, guess what show was available on iTunes?
Oh, okay. The Office.
So. And I think they said that episode was, the specific episode was available on, on the service. And so everybody was watching it during that time. And that boosted the ratings. People started seeing it. And like your age, like you're, I think the age you were in 2006, those were the kind of people that were flocking to The Office, not like, 30, 40 year olds who like the age group in the show itself. Right. It was actually younger people.
Was it younger people back then?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like when you being a teenager.
Because now it's the younger generation that's
it's the younger generation that's still continuing to watch it.
Okay.
And I think because of meme culture and stuff, it was a show that was ahead of its time in a way. But at the same time, came in at the right moment. It's a show that I think has continued to stay relevant in a way because it's timeless, but also because it's not. Mm-hmm. It's also just very relatable because of its mundane nature, you know? But I just thought that was fascinating because I don't know if it was an intentional thing that they put the video iPod in there and then the intentional that The Office was one of the shows you could watch, but that literally is what saved the show and that's how it found its audience. And then it became this overnight juggernaut because of that one thing. It's pretty cool.
Very cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. Maybe I did, but I just don't remember.
It's kind of an inside baseball thing. So The Office ended, we should probably talk about the ending. We talked about how Michael leaving was one of the stupidest decisions ever, but it was also great because you could say for some people, that was the end of the show, mm-hmm. and their other two seasons are optional. You could argue that. That's how I feel about Indiana Jones 5.
Okay.
The first four are required reading. The fifth one is, optional if you want to see an old, depressed Indiana Jones want to die in 214 BC.
How many times have you said that this month?
I can't count.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
Review coming soon, baby. It's going to be good. Anyways, I guess talking about the ending of the show, what was your thoughts on first Michael's exit and that arc?
So I think they did the exit really well, actually, because Michael has finally learned all of his lessons. He's found the woman he wants to be with. She's just as dorky and nerdy as him. She built him up. She doesn't put him down, but she also holds him to a high standard. And so he becomes a little bit more mature and mature enough to marry the love of his life and become a father and like live his life as a better human being. You know, I'm sure he will still make his mistakes and he'll still say the wrong things on accident a couple times, but he's definitely developed and he's grown more into the person who he needs to be for Holly.
Yeah.
His wife.
The crux of making a good character is showing what the character wants and then showing what the character needs and having them realize over the course of the story how what they need should be what they want and then them coming to peace with that. So
yes.
It's a great showcasing of that. I find it kind of ironic that him choosing Holly is at the crux of having to let go of his family.
Yeah.
Like he's finally found something that is willing to pull him away from Dunder Mifflin and pull him away from his family.
He says, "Holly's my family now."
Yeah.
Too. In like his last episode or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's my family now.
Yeah. Now it was a really beautiful way to end the series, but really stupid how it all turned out. Like basically, do you know how it happened? How Steve Carell left the office?
Yeah, I think they didn't renew his contract, but I think he was okay with that. I think he was okay with moving on. They've talked about that, like it's out there.
Yeah.
I can't remember the full story, but I know that he was okay with not being renewed.
Right. But the way it comes off is like the studio forgot or chose not to renew his contract. And instead of fighting it or being mad or like, hey, let's talk. Let's get this thing renewed because I want to keep going. Everyone was just like, okay.
If you think about it, though, had he continued on the show after season 7 and he did get married to Holly, there's still a huge storyline there. Like, they could talk about their wedding. They could talk about how he is as a husband, father, and family man. But his story is over at that point when he marries Holly because he can't be the same Michael Scott that we've all grown to know and love. He's already learned his lesson. So, like, he's not going to be the same funny man. Because he's not going to be as offensive or he's not going to make those jokes.
Yeah.
And he's not going to say that's what she said probably a lot, you know. And I just think that was a good time to let him go because his story was told. Like now he's going to the next thing and we don't need to see that because we just need to know that he's going to be happy with Holly.
Do you think that if they continued doing the show and they didn't write Michael out, that would have still been the finale?
Like season 7 would have been the finale?
Yeah, like if they had, because I think they wrote it, they wrote season 7 knowing Steve Carell was leaving.
They did.
Yeah, so if he wasn't going to leave, do you think they would have kind of had that story out up until season 9, and then make season 9 just the end of the series?
Yes. They brought Holly back in the 7th season, the very beginning, so that they had the whole season to really grow Michael up kind of quickly and really mature him in a natural but like fast-paced way because they knew like at the end of the season he's leaving, so we have to wrap up his story.
Yeah. One other thing I'll say is you mentioned that they do have him grow and change really fast. Mm-hmm. I think it was genius and, you know, partially offensive to see him, like the way he messes up Holly's Woody doll.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Is that really all you got from that first?
No. I mean, as a Toy Story fan, I'm offended. But I'm saying I think, like, that is something old Michael would have done. And he realizes even if Holly doesn't accept him, he has to grow up because that behavior is not going to fly anymore.
Yeah, I think that was his maturing point.
Yeah.
When AJ comes.
AJ, that's right.
Yeah, when he comes and Michael has to be the bigger person because mm-hmm. he loves her.
Yeah.
He's like, I have to pick up my act. Even if she's never going to love me, I need to be the man that I would want her, that she would want me to be.
Yeah,
I have exactly. to be the man that she wants me to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even if she's not going to be with me.
Mm-hmm. It's a great send off for him. Now it's funny. I think this speaks to the quality of the show. The fact that you could just have a whole hour long podcast episode about each individual character because they're yeah. so well developed, despite the show being so mundane. Because I mean, it's a kind of a reflection of how mm-hmm. life is. Life yeah. is. You know, we see like, you know, fantasies and, you know, sometimes like big science fiction fantasy movies as like an escape from life, but we all see little slivers of ourselves in it. The Office is all of the mundaneness of life with a ridiculous, slightly elevated comedic tone to it. Yeah. So let's touch on the end of the series. What were your thoughts on how the series ended?
Well, I was sad.
Well, I mean, who wasn't?
I thought it was a really good way to wrap up the series. I did. I thought, should we say spoilers on here? Everybody at this point has seen The Office.
At this point.
If you haven't seen The Office,
Haven't seen The Office, what are you doing? We already talked about how Michael left, so it's fine.
Sure. I'm going to spoil the end of The Office, though, for all you listeners. So if you haven't seen it, skip,
yeah.
I don't know, 20, 30 seconds. I think that it was a really great ending to have Dwight and Angela get married.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis and Bob are married and they're living their life. Ryan comes back with his baby, Kelly, and, oh my gosh, what's her boyfriend's name? He's the pediatrician. He's the Indian pediatrician.
Yeah, he's They're the one that looks like Vivek Ramaswamy.
A little, sure. Michael comes back.
Yeah, that
and
was
Jim
great.
And Pam have reconnected. Like they've rebuilt their relationship.
They're moving on with their lives.
Yes, they're moving on with their lives. They've taken that Pam is she put their house on the market, and they're going to move to Austin, Texas, I think,
yeah.
with Athlete, with Daryl. Andy has reconciled his behavior as well.
You don't have to lie. That was horrible what they did to Andy.
Yeah, that was pretty bad what they did to him. But everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's moving on. So it was like a beautiful ending for every character.
It's kind of like...
It's very organic.
Yeah.
Except for Creed. Poor Creed.
Now, Creed had what was coming to him. It's kind of like the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, where...
oh, I hated that movie.
I know. It was an uncomfortable movie.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
I forgot about that
movie. But no, I see it in the same way, the endings. I like what they do with the characters. Rocket reconciles with his past, and he becomes mm-hmm. the leader of the Guardians. Star-Lord goes back to Earth, and instead of dwelling on the people yeah. he's lost in his life... takes advantage of the people who are still left in his life, like his grandfather. Nebula, who's never had a traditional home life, has never been brought up in a happy house, decides to be like basically the mayor of nowhere and raise all those kids to give him a future. And Drax stays with her to be what he was always meant to be, a dad, because he lost his family. Gamora finds her new family, similar to Nebula with the Ravengers. Mantis, they just kind of say, go off and find yourself, because she can't, I guess. That was the one thing that was like, they're just giving her something to do.
Right.
specifically, I bring that up because it's a bittersweet, because you don't want people to go their separate ways. You don't want people yeah. to say goodbye, but you're seeing these characters progress in a way that is really beautiful and poetic. And in both situations, the characters are happy.
Yes. And so you're sad that it's ending, but mm-hmm. you're happy that you know that their lives their lives are going to go on and they're going to be really beautiful.
Yeah, it gets me a little misty-eyed right now just thinking about both Guardians and The Office, because both are very beautiful and poetic. And also the comfort that, like, you could see them again.
Yeah.
They're not dead. No one dies in both shows. You could imagine in your head a revival of The Office and what that would look like, or a revival of Guardians and what that would look like. You don't, but there's kind of something special about not going back to the well, which brings up an impromptu question. People always talk about an Office reboot or an Office revival. What do you think about that?
It wouldn't take place at the office. Mm-hmm. And if it did, the whole entire cast would be completely different. Stanley's gone. Kevin's gone. Andy's gone. Creed's gone. Dwight probably is still manager. Angela might still be head accountant, but who knows? She might be at home with her litter of boys.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron and Pete are probably gone. Clark is probably still there as a salesman learning. That new guy who replaced Stanley is probably still there. Phyllis is probably retired and living well as Bob Vance of Vance Refrigeration's first lady.
Yep.
And then Jim and Pam and Daryl are on the road in...
They're in Texas.
In Texas. So I don't think... It would be, I think if they ever did an Office reboot, it would be like a panel style, kind of like they did in the last episode.
Mm.
How all the cast of The Office met up, but how the cast of The Office met up on the panel and people would ask some questions in the audience. I think it would be more like that. I don't see a reboot ever.
What if they, okay, let's imagine like actually them doing it. What if there's like this centennial 100th anniversary of Dunder Mifflin, they're inviting back all old, current, and new employees to attend this thing, and they're doing it in like Scranton of all places.
Yeah.
And they bring back Michael, Pam, Jim, everybody. They try to bring back everybody, and it's like you do like a 6 to 8 episode mini season of just reliving the good old days, and to add some sort of emotional theme to it, maybe make it about the fact that like you can't recreate the magic of the past, but that doesn't mean the past is not still special. It doesn't diminish the fact that it happened. It happened. And there's beauty in moving on and letting things be.
I think it'd be good, but I think I'd be disappointed. I don't think it would ever live up to my expectations of what a reboot would.
I agree. Need to be. Yeah. And especially with the downward spiral of requels and you know, the legacy sequel.
Requels?
The reboot sequel.
Oh, I was like, what the heck is a requel?
Sorry. With the downward spiral of specifically like the legacy sequel, like they've done it with Star Wars, they've done it with Indiana Jones and Terminator, and even Avengers is kind of in the midst of a legacy sequel right now with recasting, like replacing Hulk with She-Hulk and Captain America with Falcon America. Because I refuse to call him Captain America. I agree. As much as I'd love to fantasize about that, that's the only way I could see it working, is if they made it like a meta commentary on you can't recreate the past, you can't recapture the magic. But
they did it with Friends, and a lot of people were disappointed.
But that was a reunion, though.
It was a reunion.
That was a reunion. It wasn't even like they were rebooting the show.
True.
It was more of a, let's have the cast come together and hang out, and they can do some fun stuff that reminds us of how we felt with the show. I think if they were to do any kind of reboot, they would have to go the Friends route with the reunion.
That's kind of what I was saying. Like,
yeah,
I get, yeah, like a reunion panel is what I would imagine them doing if they brought it back.
Like as the actors themselves, not as the characters.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
No, as their characters.
Oh, interesting.
Like they do in the last episode.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
The
fact that they already did that in the last episode, it might be redundant.
Do it again.
Yeah. Well.
I'm just kind of against the whole thing. Like, I'm happy just imagining what their lives are like.
Right. So.
Bobby.
Who?
Ravi's the name of the pediatrician.
Oh, Kelly's, Ravi. Yes, that's right. That's right. That's funny. How do you watch the show? Because technically you've watched it over 1,000 times, especially in this past year. How have you done that?
So, sorry, I'm having a really hard time focusing because I don't want to just scream and cry.
Okay.
So what I'll do is, because it's just me and the baby at home, I will have The Office playing in the background because it's a conversational show. So like a lot of people are talking with different inflections. There's some music, there's noises, there's talking. And so I'll just let it play in the background. And then sometimes I'll go back a few episodes from where I am, take a nap while it's playing in the background so that when I wake up, I'm on the episode that I last was at, so I can pay attention to it. And that's kind of how I'll watch it. Or, you know, I'll just watch it because I actually want to watch it. I always want to watch it, but yeah, I'll keep it on in the background just for background noise.
I swear, like, 1 week I'll come in and you're watching the pilot, and then 2 weeks later I'll come home and you're already on the season finale. You're on the series finale.
It's not true. It's taken me more than a month to get through the first six seasons. I'm on season seven now. I'm actually at the end of season seven, and it's been a whole month. So yeah,
but you've also been doing that in between the Superfan episodes.
Yes. And the Superfan episodes did add about 10, 15 minutes to each episode through the first six seasons. So yes.
Yeah.
If you cut down, yeah, it maybe I would have gone through season eight in 4 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Let's answer the question that we're here to answer. The Office has, again, managed to surpass, like, the time that it was made in. And it's rewatched, like, every year by millions and millions of people. You watch it on repeat. Helen Roy and her family watches it on repeat. It's a show that people just seem to would prefer to go back to time and time again instead of watching anything new or any other new shows that are being produced right now. And no show has been able to, I think, reach the level of hype that it has achieved. And I think even before this, the other show that ever did that was Friends, which we'll have to have you come back and do a conversation on Friends.
Let's
too.
Let's do it.
So why do you think that is? Why is The Office in 2023 still incredibly popular?
So first of all, I think that, because one major reason is that they don't make a lot of references to the time period that they're in. Sometimes they name the year. Obviously, there's old tech being used, but for the most part, it's a show that can move through the generations.
Mm-hmm. It's timeless.
It's timeless. Maybe their fashion is a little outdated, but I think that, like, you could set The Office in our time period today and you would think, oh yeah, this is totally legit. Sorry, you can get the baby through
it's
that.
Okay.
You know, they believe it's a totally legit moment in time.
Yeah.
You know, I think that
it captures the mundane nature of life.
Mm-hmm. I think that the comedy is actually funny. And it's offensive, and that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're not afraid to be offensive. They're not afraid to make the joke.
Anything Michael Scott says, basically.
Yeah. What's the phrase that I'm trying to think
that's
of?
What she said?
No. At the expense of others.
Oh,
comedy,
like,
at the expense of others. Like, they're not worried about offending you. They just want to make us laugh. Like, they
right.
want... It's real comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy is making fun of life.
And on that note, I'll slightly disagree with you that you couldn't make the show today the same, because...
You could.
No, because people are more offended today.
Oh, well, sure. But that's what I was saying.
I get what you were saying, but, like, just slightly on the end of, like...
Okay,
you could
true,
not make
true.
The Office today because
guess,
it would be
yeah,
a radically
it
different.
Funny.
It would be radically different. Look, I mean, you would have like the people, like, basically, if you were to make The Office today, Michael Scott would be fired by first episode.
Yeah. It would.
You'd
it
have
be,
like
it wouldn't be a question.
Transgenders,
be like,
people like Michael Scott fired. Misgendered me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, he wouldn't be able to make any jokes.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a good burp. Yeah, I think that's why it's so timeless, though. Mm-hmm. And the characters are just very relatable to people that we would work among, you know?
Yeah.
They feel like they're your friends. They feel like they're your family.
Yeah.
That you really get to love the characters, each for his own quirks. I just think it's just a timeless piece. It's funny. If you're not offended easily, it's
kind of like comfort food.
It is comfort food. And the story is just really, really great. Mm-hmm. And like the jokes never get old. The jokes are funny. There's always background catches that you can go back and be like, oh my gosh, I never noticed that before. And like, mm-hmm. there's just so many Easter eggs too.
You're right. Yeah, there is so much to pull from the show. I think, yeah, the mundane nature of the show, the fact that it's real life, makes it relatable. And I think because our culture is so sensitive and we can't make the type of jokes that they make in the show, that makes people want to go watch The Office all the more, because you're right, it's comedy for the sake of comedy. Right. And comedy is offensive.
Right.
And if you can't laugh at yourself, then you know, good luck finding a laugh ever in your life, really.
Right, exactly. You have to be able to laugh at, you know, life.
Yeah. You have to be able to just laugh at yourself. Yes. And
Zach Woods says that exact line in the show. Like, you gotta be able to laugh at yourself.
Oh, yeah. Ironically, he can't take a joke when people start to do
that. Yes.
Isn't that the they're writing quote, they're writing quotes and stuff on the episodes.
Yes.
Yeah, or not on, the episodes on the cartoon. On the drawings, the cartoons, yeah. The Freudian slip. Yeah, so I think we can both agree that simple answer: The Office is so popular because to this day, because it's irreverent, it's relatable, and it's timeless.
Yeah,
I think those are the three ingredients to what makes the show still stand the test of time and still be so popular. It's still so funny, it's rewatchable, and it's relatable, and
you're always going to root for the characters.
Yeah, the characters, despite some of their quirks and stuff, mm-hmm. they find a way to, even in some of the characters' bitterness and less desirable, less good quirks, you still like them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm glad we could get down to the bottom of this. I'm surprised it was such an easy answer to come to.
If you've watched it as many times as I have, I feel like it's an easier answer than someone who's watched it like maybe once through.
Yeah, I mean, she really is a super fan. You even listen to all the podcasts. What are the podcasts that you listen
to?
The
Office Ladies. It's still going. They're on season eight. Wow. Season eight.
Even more than just two seasons right now. Yeah, it's incredible.
They're almost on the last season. Yeah, it's really sad. I don't want it to end. I'm gonna be sad about that one too. And then The Office Deep Dive with Brian Baumgartner, who played Kevin.
Yeah.
He did a whole series about kind of the questions that you're asking. Why is The Office so timeless? He takes it from a celebrity point of view, like someone who's on the episode.
Right.
Or someone who's on the show.
Yeah, I listened to...
I cried at the end of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't want it to end. I was so sad. It was such a good podcast. Goes to show
how big of a fan she is.
I mean, it's a really good podcast.
I listened to the Greg Daniels episode, the first part of the Greg Daniels episode. And that one episode was just a great insight into what made it so good. And his approach to comedy, even, he started out as a writer on King of the Hill and SNL, and what he ended up doing with The Office and subsequent shows like Parks and Rec, genius. So, yeah, we'll continue to rewatch The Office in the background.
Of course, always.
Yes, of course, always.
It will always be
in the background of the Salerno household.
Yeah.
babe, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Sorry we were interrupted by baby,
but
I love letting him be on the show.
I love baby being on the show, at least sort of. Thanks. I love you.
That was really fun. I love you too. I hope we got into it. If you want to do part two and ask more in-depth questions,
yeah, I'm not interrupted. We might need to do a part two depending on how people react to this. I'd love to do a Friends deep dive with you. I think it was so much fun.
I think I'm gonna say this on this podcast, but I think I have to say I'm more of an Office fan than a Friends fan because The Office was the first one I came across.
Okay,
and I think I've watched it way more times than I've watched Friends.
I'd say,
but I could quote Friends. Like I could quote every episode of Friends. But I think that The Office is truly like my first show.
Nice. Only because I think The Office can be a little dark.
Yeah.
I like shows like Parks and Rec, and I actually say between those two, I'm probably more of a Friends fan.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I loved Friends. I loved watching
it. We should watch some more episodes together.
We should. From the first episode to the last, I was just so hooked. I was emotionally wrecked by the finale, even though I knew what was going to happen.
Can I just say this on this podcast too? Yeah. So at the very end of Friends, we decided we should just turn on the first episode as soon as it's over because we were both feeling really bummed out.
We were genuinely depressed.
Yeah, I was really sad that it ended again.
Yeah.
It's such an emotional ending, even more than The Office. I cry every time The Office ends. And I sometimes I won't even watch the very last episode.
It's done in the same vein of how The Office ends. But because I think those last couple episodes are so heavy.
Yeah.
So much changes in the last few episodes. Yeah. Anyways, we're already getting ahead of ourselves. It's a podcast for another day.
Thank you, Vince. Thanks, honey, for having me on
your welcome, love. Podcast. Where can people find you online if they want to follow your stuff?
Yes, you can follow me on Have a Kate Day at Have a Kate Day on Instagram. And my website is live. I'm still trying to edit and upload more content. But if you want to visit my website, it's tosettheworldonfire.com. Lots of things there. Trying to get into the blogging.
Crunchy lifestyle blogging.
Scrunchy lifestyle.
Scrunchies.
But mostly blogging and sharing recipes, tips, and tricks for motherhood, homemaking, all that stuff. So if you want to follow me there, I'm going to try to be more active on that too.
I love it. All right. Well, we'll link all that stuff in the description of the episode. Of course, you guys can follow me on Twitter at TheBigView75, official Vince Salerno on Instagram, and subscribe to this YouTube channel to check out more episodes of the Vince Salerno podcast, as well as my short films and other videos. Hope you guys have a great day and a great week. God bless and peace out.